Just a royal pantsing it was yesterday. The Aussies giving it to the Poms. How good. All out just before tee for 147. Coons, you loved every single ball. You were isolating, but still, you would have done the same thing had you had your freedom.
And I'm still going to do the same once I get out of isolation. Tomorrow, I'll still just sit on the couch. And hopefully it does go for 5 days. I'm not sure we're going to be able to stretch it out that long, but it was a perfect start yesterday.
Oh, it really was. Jared Whateley leads SEN's outstanding commentary. He joins us this morning. Good morning, Jared.
Hey, Z Coons. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, mate. Congratulations. I reckon this morning, we've listened to your commentary of Mitch Stark's first ball about six times. That moment, what was it like?
It's unexpected, and usually a test series starts with a short of a length delivery outside the off stump that the batsman leaves alone, and it goes through to the keeper's gloves. And sometimes it can feel like there's a sense of anticlimax in that. It was a bit shocking, to be honest, particularly the manner in which it happened, that a batter would be bowled on the leg stump with the first ball. So Stark does have a habit of taking a wicket in the first over of big matches, but to do it with the first ball, it's a once in 85 year event. So it was a bit like cricket, Taylor's Comet.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, mate, it was fantastic for you. I mean, take us through the highlight of the day for you, because there was so much amazing stuff to choose from.
Oh, there was. I mean, it was almost like the cricket gods said, you've had two sessions, you've had your fill, we're going to rain for the rest of the day. Yeah. Because honestly, what more could we give you as an opening entree into the Ashes? So the first ball will live long in folklore. There's a set of Ashes incidents which probably reach between a dozen and two dozen, and that ball instantly becomes a part of that collective. The tale of the day was the differing fortunes of two captains. So Joe Root won the toss and lost the lot. And Pat Cummins lost the toss and won everything thereafter. And Root, who comes here as the best batsman in the world, makes a duck. And Cummins, in his first day as Australian skipper, takes five. You just cannot get further contrasting fortunes than that. So I think as a study, like you could have a thesis on yesterday's cricket. Why is the sport so dictated by convention, when every ounce of a captain's being wants to win the toss and bowl, can you not do it? That history says you're just almost prohibited from doing what so naturally would be the decision for both captains, never mind just but for Joe Root in particular. There are layers to it, but the tale of two captains is right there at the top for me.
I guess we might have to ask Nasser Hussain why you maybe make that decision, Jared, because we still talk about it to this day. I mean, the obvious choice in hindsight is to bowl first on a green deck with a bit of moisture around, but no one can, it's almost, and the criticism has come for Joe Root, but no one in their right mind at the first Ashes test, travelling over, England captain, is going to bowl first no matter what the conditions.
No. This is it, Coons. So the sport is so paralysed by convention that even when it really is the only thing to do, you still default to the other. And Nasser Hussain is the ultimate cautionary tale. So Athers is part of our broadcast team and we're blessed to have him. And he says every time they have Nasser Hussain on Sky Sport, it's almost the introductory plank to his commentary. So for all that he's achieved in cricket and for all that he is, he is defined by that one choice which went spectacularly badly, and it becomes the source of paralysis for every generation thereafter. But imagine if the opposite had happened. If Joe Root had won the toss, elected to bowl, and they had nicked Australia off in such a manner. Imagine the conversation in this country and around this series this morning if Australia had been bowled out for a miserly total. And that's what England have essentially forfeited. And the point is made that a captain never gets criticised for making the choice to bat. That's the batsman's fault. A captain gets eviscerated, was Athers' word, if you choose to send the opposition in and it goes wrong. And it's just one of those, cricket is unique and beautiful and frustrating and restrictive. And this is one of the greatest examples I can think of.
Pat Cummins, where does he rank now for you, Jared? Just in terms of, this is a young man that's got it all. Our test captain now, first day as the test captain, and he produces a fifer. Does it get much better than this?
Not really. So he's an all-time great already, and that's separate to yesterday's events and what he's been able to do. And keep in mind, he was a teenage prodigy who in his first test is man of the match, strikes the winning runs, just gives a glimpse of what he's going to be, has 6 years while his career is on hold through injury, and then does return as the bowler he was always forecast to be. He is, by rankings, the best paceman in the world. He lived up to that yesterday. There's a rawness and an aggression to him that I thought that was one of the most beautiful parts. And Damien Fleming was on commentary at the time. And we don't see, we've in our lifetimes, we've never seen this, a fast bowler take the ball as captain and go, right, oh, I'm going to do it. I'm going to finish it off. The act of a captain in our experience has been, I'll make the opening day century at the Gabba and set the tone. So Ricky Ponting, that was his long suit, Michael Clarke, and there's been such a rich history of that. Steve Smith picked it up as well. But this is a bowler who did it. Give me the ball, I'll wipe out the tail, I'll take five. So utterly brilliant and a rare talent who we're going to enjoy so much. And he'll have much harder days than yesterday, but he looked like an aggressive, imaginative captain who wasn't prepared to sort of sit and wait. He took it to England repeatedly, short, sharp spells from his bowlers. And I think I don't know whether batter captains have the idea of sort of not disrupting the fast bowlers too much. Settle in, bowl a six over spell. We'll talk about it after that, unless things go awry. Whereas Pat just went, nah, two overs for you, three overs for me, two overs for you, three overs here. I think we'll see a completely different dynamic in the Australian cricket team while he is captain, and I can't wait to see how it unfolds.
It was also a faultless day in the field from the Aussies.
Yeah.
There was not one mistake made. Some of those catches in slips were first class, but, I mean, Hazelwood's two outfield catches were quite brilliant. Now, I think not a lot has been spoken about, but it was faultless in the field from the Aussies.
It was. The two Hazelwood catches in the deep are the signature moments. And Labuschagne's catch of third slip was excellent. They all had a go, didn't they? Carey took his set, and they were straightforward, exactly the professional that he's long been. Warner at first, Smith at second, Labuschagne at third. They all got the workout. And then those two fine catches in the deep. And you probably, from a generation gone by, you don't really expect your fast bowlers to be taking those all the time. And sometimes they've been regarded as absolute classic catches. And yet Hazelwood made them seem very much within his wheelhouse. So it was a faultless day. The way that... So Stark takes the first wicket. Hazelwood bowls seven overs, four maidens, two for three. And then Cummins takes it up, takes five. And Cam Green gets his first test wicket. So the only thing missing from the checklist was Nathan Lyon's 400th, which presumably will come the second time that England bat. But... yeah, just an extraordinary day, really. And Australia, it is one of those days where they made everything go right, and then they had the dose of luck to maximise that. And today we'll see what all that is worth. It's still a lively pitch that England's seamers should bowl well on. Australia has a top order that isn't entirely settled, and there are knickers in that group, and I think they'll be thoroughly tested. So it's up to the batters now to see what all that is worth. But if you wrote down what would Australia like is bowling England out for 147 and setting up the chance for a big total and winning by an innings at the start at the Gabba, that's pretty close to the top of the list.
What is, a bit of a question without notice, Joe, but what is the forecast today? Are we expecting similar sort of conditions?
Yeah, so there's sunshine at the moment. So I think the first session will be played largely under clear skies, and then it gets stormy from 1 o'clock onwards. So I imagine a little bit like yesterday, we'll get a really good chunk of cricket, and then I expect we'll probably get a storm that will either significantly disrupt or end play early. The good news is that the last 3 days of the test are entirely clear of rain now. So for whatever disruptions there are today, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, will propel us towards a result without too much fear, I think.
I imagine they'd be pretty good bowling conditions for Stuart Broad and James Anderson today, Jared. Are you somewhat surprised about the selection of those two?
I am to a degree that neither of them is there. I do understand the strategy around two pink ball tests and veteran fast bowlers who won't make it through a five-test series, and particularly in the case of Broad, where the last time England played him with no cricket behind him, he badly tore a calf, and if that was to repeat, that would rule him out of the rest of the series. I think if you'd asked anybody in Australia yesterday morning, are you more comforted by the fact that Anderson and Broad aren't there? Is the answer unanimously would be yes. But it now turns to a little bit of what we know and some of what we don't. So there's Ollie Robinson. There's a test match in the winter against India where Ollie Robinson is the man of the match, and he gives a glimpse of what he might be. So I can't wait to see him bowl this morning, and I think he'll present a real threat to Australia. Mark Wood is raw speed, not tremendous endurance, but raw speed. Chris Wokes, we've seen enough of it. Let's don't think he strikes a lot of fear. Ben Stokes is always a threat to Australia in what he's asked to do. And then Jack Leach, their spinner. I don't know whether spin will play a big role in this Gabba test or not. But so all eyes, I think, to Ollie Robinson this morning, who I think he will be a real threat to Australia. And if there is a way back into this, it will be Ollie with the new ball today.
Jared, as expected, the coverage from yourself and the rest of the team was absolutely flawless. Can't wait to see what happens today. Hopefully another big day for the Aussies.
Yes, yes. The first two talkback calls we took in the rain delay yesterday, Hazy, were the first who said, oh, not another lopsided summer, which was Adrian. And then Janine said, what's wrong with you? Don't we want the Australian team to win like this? When did beating the Poms badly become a source of angst? So it's an interesting social study as well.
Oh, can we just quickly get your thoughts, Jared? Because we've had the same conversation this morning. I want Australia to absolutely smash everybody in every single international event. I don't want it to be close.
It feels to me like the cricket team is the one who gets hobbled on that front. Nobody would worry if the Wallabies were beating New Zealand 40 points to 3 every time they went out. That would be the source of enormous relief. But the cricket team's the one who seems to get penalised. And no, what we really want is close cricket. Do we need to have a little bit of introspection on that front? Yesterday, I had a craving to see Australia bowl yesterday, and I loved every minute of it. And I'm not left with any lament that the Poms were knocked over cheaply. If England fight back today, excellent. That's great for Test cricket. But I'm totally okay with seeing the Australian team in its absolute pomp.
Oh, absolutely. Outstanding, mate. Enjoy today's coverage. We're going to tune in for absolutely every single ball.
Terrific. Look forward to it.